Good morning, everybody. A warm welcome to you on this chilly spring weekend. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. My name is Kristen. It's wonderful to be with you on this day, the Feast of Pentecost. With me in leadership this morning is our music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson. You've been hearing our wonderful organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson. And our choir is among you. And we are Rosedale United, a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in our neighborhood and around our city. And we gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. We're proud to be an affirming congregation representing a variety of ages, gender identities, sexualities, family configurations, and backgrounds. This is a sanctuary where everyone is welcome. And as I mentioned, today is the feast day of Pentecost, the celebration of the birthday of the Christian church through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. What we acknowledge today is the love of God that has been poured into our hearts. Some announcements from the life and the work of this community. Peruse your bulletin, see everything we've got going on. We are a Doors Open Toronto site. I'm sure that was obvious to you as you were making your way into our building today. And our building does officially open to the public starting at 11:30. So obviously I don't need to tell any of you to greet our guests warmly, to provide direction to anyone who asks, to be a friendly representative of our wonderful congregation here. Check out anything you like as well and feel welcome to stay. Tuesday this week, May 26th, 7 p.m., we are hosting the final lecture in our springtime series with York University's Glendon College. This particular lecture is about the figure and metaphor of vampires across history. Think of the pop culture vampires that you know, Interview with a Vampire, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the Twilight series, most recently the movie Sinners, and all that they have to say about the contemporary culture of their moment. This is a great lecture to invite a grandchild or a friend to join you, and you can get your tickets to this event online. Next Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., we are hosting an event with an organization called the Interfaith Bridge to combat anti-Semitism, which is growing in our city. This event is free, but we do ask you to register in advance. And again, tickets are online. And of course, we do invite you to bring a friend or a neighbor along with you. Our weekly silent meditation continues Wednesdays at 7:15 in the morning here in the sanctuary. That's 30 minutes of guided silent meditation. And finally, save the date, June 14th, immediately following the service, is our annual volunteer appreciation lunch. And everyone is welcome. If you just show up here and you attend church, you're welcome at this volunteer. We consider you a volunteer. This is a fully catered lunch. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to clean. You don't have to cook. You just show up and we will feed you and thank you because we're so grateful to each of you for being a part of this community and for making this. So that's June 14th, right after the service. Our beautiful flowers this week are in memory of Wendy Dryden's parents, all flowers that they have loved and that remind her of them. They are in memory of Gwen and Doug Dryden. And we hold Wendy in all of our compassion and our prayers. In this moment, I invite you to stand as you are able, in body or spirit, as we call ourselves to worship. Jesus invites us, saying, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Indeed, our spirits thirst for all that you offer to us, living Christ. Compassion, forgiveness, healing, welcome, rest, and the chance to begin again. So come, drink your fill. Be refreshed as we welcome the Spirit in this time of worship, and we sing together, Crashing Waters at Creation. The peace of Christ be with you all, and also with you. And we invite you to turn to those neighbors who are around you and extend a warm greeting in the name of Christ, saying, peace be with you. I light our Christ candle. May this dazzling light be for us a source of holy wonder. And I invite us in this moment into a time of silence as we prepare our hearts, prepare our bodies, quiet our minds for this time of worship. Let us pray. We have gathered to be filled with you, Holy Spirit. Great are your ways, great is your inspiration. You are in us, and we are in you. Your love abides in us, and we abide in your love. You lead us to wisdom. You teach us your way of mercy and kindness. You empower us to love others. We pause in this space at this moment, recognizing that we long for the renewal, for the hope, for the spark that you bring our hearts, for the power to speak out and address injustices. Too often we try to hold ourselves back from the rushing wind of your Spirit, afraid of what transformation might ask of us, afraid to take responsibility, limited by our thoughts of not wanting to make mistakes, or of regret, or by feeling that we don't have anything to add that will make a difference. Stir in our hearts, light your flame within us, guide us to the truth of who we are and what we are meant to do. Grateful for your love and guidance, we say together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, you give us peace in our hearts and easing of our troubled spirits. So, opening our theme, the Spirit is understood by Christians as that force that animates us, that brings us alive. And so my question to you to ponder at this time is, what makes you feel really alive? What is it that you are passionate about? I don't know, maybe it's cooking, maybe it's sewing, maybe it's gardening, maybe it's leadership. Maybe it is running your business. Maybe it's being with grandchildren or friends. What makes you feel alive? One of the most wonderful quotes, and I have it in my office, is vocation is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. I love that. And that has its beginning, vocation has its beginning in what makes us feel energized and alive. So what is it that makes you feel alive? That's my question for you. It's just for you to ponder in this moment as Sarah plays.
Let us pray. O God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Amen. A reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2, selected verses. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
The second reading is from the 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit of the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the same one Spirit. To another, the working of powerful deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. May God bless to our understanding of this reading from the Holy Scriptures."
And we stand and sing in response, "On Pentecost They Gathered."
Thank you.
Please be seated. We open our hearts, extending ourselves to our community, people and places that we've carried with us on our minds and to whom God's love we wish to send. Let us pray. Breath of life, in your wisdom, grant us knowledge and grace. Fill all peoples with your spirit. Guide us into forgiveness of one another and to the rebuilding with trust of our institutions, of ourselves. Help us to find the peace and healing that you want for us in quiet moments, in the majesty of nature, among friends and enemies alike. Bring us closer to you that we may reach out beyond ourselves. Bring your strength to those who would wield it to create your kingdom, but who are getting tired. Bring your love to those who would nurture and support others, but who find themselves depleted. Bring your joy to those who are in the depths of grief and sorrow. Bring your blessings to the attention of those who feel the void of emptiness. And bring the gifts of your spirit to the attention of those who do not recognize them in themselves. Through you, all things are possible. In this spirit we pray. Amen. I invite you to join me in our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. Continuing our time of prayer, you're invited in this moment to light a candle in honor of a prayer you are holding in your heart for a person, a place that you're carrying with you, perhaps for an intention that you'd like to set. There are stations all around you in the sanctuary. You are welcome to move up and light a candle at any one of them. You may also in this moment feel moved to give an offering to the life and work of this congregation, and our offering box is at the back. It's equally okay just to stay put where you are and enjoy the music and the rest of this moment. Wow, choir. That was amazing. I felt like I was listening to an episode of Choral Concert on CBC. It was stunning. Thank you for your gifts and your voices among us. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Let me begin with some context. Today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, a Greek word that means 50th day. It's the 50th day after Easter Sunday. But Pentecost has its roots in the Jewish festival of Shavuot, also known as the Festival of Weeks, which culminates on the 50th day after the second day of Passover and celebrates God's giving of the Torah to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. In the story we heard from the book of Acts, the disciples had gathered to celebrate Pentecost. And during this gathering, they had an experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so for Christians, Pentecost has come to represent the day when we celebrate the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives and the Spirit's formation of us into the worldwide Christian church we are today. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians. And the question Pentecost asks us each year is how we will continue to manifest this Spirit for the common good. That's the context. Let me shift now to theology. In the Christian tradition, we speak of God as having three distinct aspects or persons. One God, present to us in three ways. There is the person or aspect of God we call Father, Parent, Creator, Mother, Source of Life. There is the person of Jesus Christ, God incarnate in human form, the Son, whom we also call Redeemer, Friend, Living Word. Finally, there is the person or aspect of God we call the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the active aspect of God, God at work in us and others, moving our hearts for good, discouraging us from what causes harm, prodding us to admit our shortcomings and the mistakes and hurt we may have caused, and to make amends, compelling us in the pursuit of truth and beauty. In our tradition, we often use the metaphors of wind and fire to speak of God's Spirit. In the beginning, we read in the first lines of the book of Genesis, the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That's the Spirit, what Christians would call the Holy Spirit, pictured as wind. When we read in the book of Exodus that an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire out of a bush, this revelation of God, pictured as fire, is also an image of God's Spirit, what Christians call the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's creative and healing love, present with and at work in the world. It's the force that transforms us for goodness. That's what the church, in all its different denominations, Catholic, Orthodox, Protestant, celebrates at the Feast of Pentecost. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, God is at work with us and in us, and not only in us, but in all people. It's through the Holy Spirit that God continues to speak to us, urging us to get out of our comfort zones, to draw the circle wide, so to speak, to be expansive and open-hearted, to be the church God calls us to be. If you're moved to be more loving, more joyful, more peaceful, more patient, kinder, gentler, more faithful, more self-controlled, more inclusive, more compassionate, then we'd say that's the Holy Spirit at work. So that's our theology. Now, to my Pentecost story. This past winter, one of our members asked if he could meet our congregation's board. This was in the weeks after two gunmen opened fire on members of the Jewish community in Sydney, Australia, who had gathered outdoors on Bondi Beach to celebrate the first night of Hanukkah. About 1,000 people had gathered to tell the story of the miraculous continuation of light, even in dark times, when two gunmen opened fire, killing 15 people and wounding more than 40. And this wasn't a random attack. The gunmen had been deliberate in their plan to target members of the Jewish community. The attack was interrupted by a Good Samaritan, a local shopkeeper, who happened to be Muslim, who risked his life disarming one of the attackers while waiting for the police. So a member of our congregation reached out to me and said he wanted to meet with the board to talk about what Rosedale United Church could do to speak out against anti-Semitism. He was moved in his heart. The Globe and Mail would later report that the Integrated Threat Assessment Center had warned that an extremist attack against members of Canada's Jewish community was an imminent and realistic possibility. Rob was urging us as a congregation to speak out publicly against violence and hatred directed at Jewish people here in Canada. According to the Toronto Police Service's 2025 hate crime report, which was just released 10 days ago, the Jewish community in Toronto is the most frequently targeted group of all hate-motivated crimes, 82%, for a community that makes up about 3% of the general population. Rob wanted us to take a stand, to say publicly that hate and violence directed toward a group of people because of their religion is wrong. And I haven't spoken to Rob about what he would call this force that was working in his heart and encouraging to speak out, but I know what I would call it. I'd say he has been moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, I am embarrassed to admit that I had reservations about Rob's request to host an event to speak out publicly against anti-Semitism. I was worried about our brand identity, and yes, it feels very weird to say that out loud. But I was worried about our brand identity because of the global context in which we find ourselves. I worried that the wider public would confuse our church's stance against anti-Semitism toward the Jewish community in Canada with support for Israel's war in Gaza, with its total destruction of infrastructure there and its devastating toll of civilian deaths. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been issued a warrant of arrest by the International Criminal Court for the alleged crimes of starvation as a method of warfare and of intentionally directing attacks against a civilian population. And I believe in the necessity of critique and debate about the actions of government worldwide and the necessity of holding governments to account, including our own government here in Canada. And I was worried that taking a public stance against anti-Semitism in our local context would make our congregation a flashpoint for global geopolitical tensions and conversations I didn't feel equipped to have and wanted to avoid. I worried about the potential of opening ourselves up to violence were we to host a public event. The whole idea of a public event made me uncomfortable. But the Holy Spirit is known for calling us out of our comfort zones. Rob spoke with the board listened carefully, and our board was unanimous in saying we needed to do something. Then members of the board and myself met with the Jewish women who founded the organization called Interfaith Bridge, the organization we'd be partnering with on our event. And I listened to their personal experiences of being the targets of hate here in Toronto because of their religious beliefs, how their synagogues had been shot at, how they were seeing swastikas drawn all over their neighborhoods, how their kids and grandkids had to pass through layers of security to walk into their schools, how vulnerable and scared they all felt. These Jewish women sat with me and we talked, and they told me that they too had very complicated feelings and different opinions about Israel's war in Gaza, and that they weren't asking us to make a statement about Israel, they were asking us to speak out against the hatred and violence that they were experiencing here in our city. And I felt a lot of humility speaking with these Jewish women, and I learned a lot, and I don't know what they would call it, but I would say the Holy Spirit was present in our conversation, at work to broaden my perspective. Speaking with the Jewish leaders of the Interfaith Bridge, I realized that I could stand against the way that Israel has waged war in Gaza and still be public and explicit in my condemnation of anti-Semitism here in Canada. In the days and weeks after Jesus died, the disciples were understandably inward-looking. They kept to themselves. The 11 men and small group of women who had followed Jesus from Galilee, along with Jesus' family, continued to gather in the room where they'd had supper, their last supper with Jesus. They were directing their energy towards sustaining themselves naturally in the days and weeks after Jesus' death. Their gathering on the day of Pentecost was no different. It was another chance for the small group to be together, to keep themselves to themselves, to stay in their comfort zone. But the Holy Spirit had other ideas, as if to say, it's time to get back to Christ's ministry among you, time to connect through compassion to others, time to be open-hearted and expansive. They were all together in the house when they heard a sound like the rushing of wind. And then they saw what looked like tongues of fire landing on each person there. And they started speaking all kinds of different languages. And there were people in Jerusalem from all over the Middle East and the Mediterranean, from as far away as Rome and Egypt. And they heard the disciples speaking in languages they could understand. It's a strange story. But the point is that those first disciples experienced the Holy Spirit as a force working in them and through them to expand their awareness of and consciousness of others, to encourage them, to draw their circle wide, to connect across background and experience. The church was born when a small group of people was nudged by the Spirit to move from being inward focused toward connection and support for others. It's a weird story, all this speaking in other languages. Some mocked them, thought they were drunk. The disciples didn't know how to explain what was going on. But Peter understood. He remembered the words of the prophet Joel. God declares, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The very founding of the Christian church was this moment that broke down barriers between people and celebrated connection across different backgrounds. This past week, I sent an invitation to our event to combat anti-Semitism to the imam of the Toronto Islamic Center, a local mosque and community hub just south of the intersection where Church Street meets Davenport at Yonge. It's just a few blocks from here. I wrote my email to the imam on the Friday before the long weekend and scheduled it to send on Tuesday, May 19th, when I figured most people would be looking at email again after the long weekend, which meant that my invitation to him ended up arriving in his inbox at a painful and difficult moment. On Monday, May 18th, news broke that the Islamic Center of San Diego was the target of a horrific shooting by armed teenagers, and multiple people were killed, including a security guard to the building who had used his final moments of life to warn others inside to gather the children and lock the doors. The authorities there are investigating the attack as hate motivated, and its perpetrators were anti-Muslim. My invitation to the imam contained no acknowledgement of this event, and he wrote me a thoughtful and challenging reply. Let me read from his response to me, quote, "For many Muslims, especially those involved in mosque leadership and community safety, incidents like these are not distant headlines. They reopen very real fears and trauma that Muslim communities here in Canada also carry. Canada, unfortunately, continues to lead G7 countries in deadly attacks motivated by Islamophobia, something that has deeply impacted the Muslim community's sense of safety and belonging. In recent months, our community has dealt with multiple safety concerns, including the assault of a young child walking home from the mosque with his family," close quote. He went on to say, quote, "It is precisely because of this reality that I hope our interfaith efforts continue to evolve in ways that consistently acknowledge and address all forms of hatred together, including anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, anti-Black racism, and attacks on other vulnerable communities. Genuine solidarity," he wrote, "must be mutual." As I read his response to me, it was as though the room in which I was sitting was suddenly filled with a sound like the rushing of wind. His words were polite, but fiery, as though an actual tongue of fire had alighted upon him while he was writing. And I don't know what force he would say had moved in his heart as he composed his message, but I know what I would call it: the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us and others, moving in our hearts, inciting us toward goodness and expansiveness. I felt convicted by the imam's message, which is another feeling the Holy Spirit can leave us with, that sense of being charged with something and convinced of a necessity. After reading the imam's message, I felt convicted that our event to combat anti-Semitism shouldn't be the one and only time our congregation speaks out against intolerance and hate in our city, that this event should only expand our sense of open-heartedness and our consciousness, and that we should continue to draw the circle of our concern for the vulnerable in this city wide. After the Jewish community, the Toronto police data shows that here in our city, it's members of the Black community and the 2S LGBTQI communities that remain the most impacted by hate crimes year after year after year after year. 14% of all hate crimes are directed against Muslim communities. It is laudable and necessary for us to speak out for one group, and it is our moral duty to keep pushing open the circle of our concern. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same spirit, Paul writes in his letter to the 1 Corinthians. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, he writes. So how will we continue to express the Spirit that is inside each of us for the common good? That's the question the story of Pentecost asks us today. How will we continue to manifest the Spirit inside of us for the sake of the common good? That's the question, and it's up to us now to live out the answer. Amen. Friends, we stand and sing in response our closing hymn, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." Friends, we go out into this day, into this week, to be the peace, to share the justice, and offer the truth in Christ's name. We bless each other as we go.